Introducing the Z-Prime HD lenses. Simply superior.
All right, knock it off.
This is episode 141 on December 3rd, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And welcome back, everybody. It's been 2 weeks since we had our last episode, and Matt,
it feels like forever.
I know. Yeah, Matt had lost his voice, and I was kind of glad you sort of did lose your voice, because I was at that point where I could fake not sounding sick, but I was too under the weather. It's that time of year. But
yeah, it was crazy. Actually, I wasn't even really sick. I just couldn't figure out how to turn on my computer. So I in the last week, I had the Geek Squad come over and show me what to do. No, for reals, I had a voice. It just would not have been.
Yeah,
it would have been a lot less pleasant to listen to on a podcast than my voice normally is.
Yeah,
I'll put it that way.
I was having to cough like all the time. Not like, you know, really bad, but I'm always trying to make sure I'm not coughing into the mic or anything like that, because it can be a little distracting.
But yeah, for sure.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was very good, but I almost regret that it went as well as it did.
Oh, no. Well, you went out of town, right?
No, we hosted.
Oh, that's right.
So we were home. I cooked for 12 people, and they all want to come back next year.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yep. Needless to say, the food was good, which is why everybody wants to come back. Plus, you know, I did the cooking. They didn't have to, so I'm sure that was a bonus. But the main thing was the food was good.
No, that's good. Yeah, we had Thanksgiving at our church with a bunch of other families. So same thing. We you know, brought three dishes, and so the cleanup was minimal. It wasn't a full-fledged production for us. So when everybody contributes, then it's not so much a, you know, the prep and the cleanup isn't that bad.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So what have you been up to photography-wise?
You know, sadly, not a whole lot. I actually have not really taken too many photos lately. For whatever reason, I don't have a good excuse.
Whoa, wait. You went to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, but that was a trip that did not really facilitate photo taking, unfortunately.
But you had some.
I did manage right before we left town to head home.
Yes.
I sniffed out an overlook where I could get a good view of the city skyline and the three rivers.
Yeah.
And you know, I did the best I could and took a couple photos there. The funny thing is, most of the photos I ended up using like the digital zoom on the camera.
Oh, nice.
Because I just didn't, it was too zoomed out, you know, the regular view. So I was using Pro Camera 8, which is just a fantastic camera app. And I shot both just straight photos and used the HDR feature, which is basically Vivid HDR, but it's baked right into Pro Camera 9 is actually the version they're on now, Pro Camera 9.
Well, we actually have in the chat room a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania person. I think Dave's in Pittsburgh, but he said West End Overlook is the best site. Line of sight for downtown.
Yeah, and that's actually where I went. And The funny thing is, I literally just was driving around thinking there's got to be something up this way, and I just happened to stumble on that. So,
oh, wow.
I didn't even like look it up or anything. I just kind of, I don't know. It was just a photographer's intuition. There's got to be a good view up here, and lo and behold, there was.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot of photography either. You know, we had Thanksgiving, and then my son had a fever for like almost 3 days, and so we didn't get out a whole lot after that. But I did start a project, which we will talk about. Actually, since we are doing that, let me go ahead and hit this.
Focus point.
We are doing a Christmas project for my family. I am going through images, and actually I've already picked out all the images. They're of my kids, and I'm pretty sure my family doesn't listen to this podcast, so I should be safe. I am making photo books with images that I've taken over this last year of my kids. And the photo book is just a blank 36-page book, and I'm putting images in there. And my kids are coloring and drawing on those on the pages in the page opposite of the pictures, so that, you know, my parents and two of our grandmothers will have images, but also hand drawn stuff in the books as a keepsake. And so it was kind of a neat idea, but then it's like I'm halfway through it and I'm like, wow, this is a lot of work. But I wanted to kind of talk a little bit, because when I started putting it together, I posted in the Facebook sort of what I was doing, and then Matt chimed in and said, oh, I'm working on images too. So today I kind of want to talk about printing a little bit. We've talked about printing in the past, but sometimes it's a good subject to bring up, because I would have to say that a majority of our listeners probably don't do anything with the images once they've been taken. They'll either sit on their phone or they'll sit on a hard drive, because we're at a time and date where printing is almost a thing of the past. Especially as new generations are coming up that have strictly digital images. So I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I very much enjoy print, so.
Yeah. So let me talk a little bit about what I did. We had talked about film photography when we talked about black and white. And I was thinking, I was like, you know what? I need to, you know, figure out which pictures need to be adjusted, because a lot of times when I look at my phone, the image looks perfect. The problem is that the phone is not a good gauge on the exposure of the image. So a lot of times either the image is way too dark or it's way too light. It's not a true representation of what it would look like on paper. So I was saying, well, what can I do? Do I have to, you know, do a test print of every single picture that I have in order to get the best exposure on paper? And then I'm like, wait a minute, we used to do proofs, and we would lay film across a piece of not contact paper. Is it contact paper for printing? Help me out here.
Just photo paper.
Yeah, photo paper. Thank you. Jeez. We would lay our print, our negatives across a unexposed photo paper, expose it under the light for a certain amount of seconds, maybe like usually you go 5, then 10 seconds, but you'd move over to find where your best exposure was. And then once you did that, then you would expose for your negatives. And then you can look at each individual image on one single sheet of paper. And that would help you kind of determine what you wanted, what you didn't want. If there were areas where you thought you needed to, you know, lighten or darken. And that was a specific process. Well, I don't think that process has really changed, because what I did was I went to my computer and looked at all my images that I wanted to print or wanted to use as prints. And I took and printed out two sheets as almost as thumbnails, but they were a little bit bigger. And when I printed it out on my printer, I was able to look at each individual image and make a note of which ones I needed to lighten or which ones I needed to darken. And then once I had figured that out, I did another test print and found that, you know, hey, these look great now. And then started crossing off the ones I didn't want to use. What do you do, Matt, when you go to print? You probably do something totally different.
Yeah, for me, I guess it just depends where I'm having the photos printed. It used to be back in the day, let's say 8 years ago, right? In digital times, that's back in the day. back then, I would usually try to get the printer profile for whatever place I was having the pictures printed.
Yes.
And load that into my computer and then use that profile to like proof the photo, basically.
Yeah.
You know, so that way I could kind of see, basically it's just so you could see what you're going to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a couple years ago, I switched to another printer and they didn't have like a proofing profile available for me to put on my computer. So I think the first couple times I used them, I noticed my photos were kind of dark, and these weren't iPhone photos. They were, at the time, photos from my Nikon D80, mm-hmm. DSLR. And so I would have to kind of go into Aperture or whatever program I was using to edit my photos on my computer and bump up the exposure and or the brightness a considerable amount, but I was just guessing. And luckily, most of the time I guessed pretty good, and I would, you know, the pictures would look terrible on my computer screen, but then when I would get the prints back, they would look great. Now, recently, I've been just going to a camera store in town, and mostly it's just because I think it's cool that my town is a camera store and I want to patronize them.
Yeah.
And so I actually, at the same time that you were getting your, or making your prints at home, I was preparing some photos to get printed. But for me, my process is a lot simpler now. I don't do anything to adjust the photos. I do my typical edits or whatever, and then I figure out like what size photos I want printed. So if it's, a 5x7 or an 8x10, I just make sure that I've cropped the photo to that size. So that way when the photo gets printed, there's not like a surprise and like, oh right, man, the photo got cropped weird. You know, because natively our phones,
yes,
they shoot, I forget what the ratio is. I think it's
3x4.
Is it It's not 4x3. It's 3x2, I believe.
No, because the 4x6 is the narrower crop. So
So it is 4x3.
Yeah, 4x3.
Okay, so that doesn't translate into any normal print size, right? You know, you're not going to go to the to the store to buy a picture frame and get a 4x3 or an 8x6 picture frame. That just doesn't exist. So if you're shooting in a 4x3 format and you're going to get a print made that's 5x7, something's going to get cropped off. If you don't do it ahead of time,
right.
You know, it's basically, anywhere that you go to get prints made, whether it's online or if you go to a camera store or something, usually the program that you're using to upload your pictures to that service, it's going to automatically select like the center of that photo and it'll crop off the edges or whatever. But I would rather have complete control over that. So I do it ahead of time at home.
Yeah.
And do all the cropping or whatever. And so on this last batch of photos I had printed, I had a mix of photos from my iPhone, the new one, the 6S Plus, and then photos from my Sony NEX7. And, you know, other than just basic edits and the cropping, I didn't do anything else, and the prints that I got back looked just like what I saw on my computer screen. So
awesome.
Either I'm really lucky or I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's magic. I'm not sure.
I'm glad you brought up the cropping and the sizes of the photo images, because that is an issue. You know, a lot of times you look and like, all right, I'm going to send this off and it looks perfect. But then you get your prints and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, why is it cropped that way? And then you're like, oh, wait, I chose the 4x6 format and our images aren't cropped to a 4x6. Now, Dave... Dave and Greg, are bringing up some good apps, Camera Plus, Pro Camera. A lot of these apps that we use, you're able to choose the format of the image, whether it's a 4x3, a 4x6, a 16x9, or even some odd ones. You can choose those, maybe like a 5x7. You can choose those different formats to take the images in. I'll say this. I did not crop any of my images when I sent them off to be printed, because the printer who I used asked if I wanted to use the format that the images were in.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, they cut them that size. Since I wasn't framing any of these images, I'm like, oh, I'm going to choose the ones that are cropped that way and just keep them. Now, I did have some that I did crop 4x6, but I wasn't thinking about it at the time. But it says, do you want these to be in the format that they're originally in? And I chose yes. And they were able to do it that way. But if you want a frame, you may want to check the frames that you want to get first, and then format your images to your frames, because if you don't, the frame is going to either crop it for you, or if you have an oversized frame for the image that you have, the border is going to be lopsided. And it takes away from the image, because your mind's looking at it going, there's a beautiful image there, but I can't get past the discrepancy in the border that you have within the frame. So you have to be aware of those things.
Yeah, I think that's the cropping for me is the biggest frustration with printing. And it's more the fact that I have to do it. It's not like a big deal to do it. It's just, you know, I just wish that you could print. I wish it was easier to print in the formats that the cameras natively shoot.
Yes.
So like in our chat room, Greg and Dave are talking about the 16:9 format, which is kind of like the high definition format, right?
Yeah.
And that's actually one of my favorite formats to crop into. In fact, I just took a bunch of photos. Well, actually, it was while we were in Pittsburgh last weekend at the National Aviary. And I took the photos with my Sony camera. Pictures of birds, basically, is what they all are. And what I do is I have a shared folder of pictures. It's just shared with like my wife, and it's called Screensaver, and it's all photos of birds and animals that I've taken. And I use that folder as the screensaver slideshow on my Apple TV. So if we're playing music or something, like whatever it's called, iTunes radio or something on the Apple TV, I'll leave the TV on, and after like 2 minutes, it won't show the music information anymore. It switches to the screensaver. So every few seconds, you know, another picture pops up or whatever. And if I crop to 16:9, the picture takes up the entire TV screen.
Nice.
You know, and it's awesome. They just look so awesome. And I just added 8 more pictures to the slideshow, from this past weekend. In any case, I wish so badly that was a format that you could get a print in. Because I have a photo that I took earlier this year that I'm thinking about getting a metal print made of to hang in my office. But I don't want to crop it any other way than 16:9.
Well, let me let me address that real quick. I would think that a metal printer would be able to do a 16:9 because you're not talking about. Okay, so back in the day when you took your photo, your film to a 1 hour photo, they only had prints in certain sizes. But now these machines are able to print out whatever you want, and then they chop off what they don't use. So I would say that you should be able to get a 16:9.
Well, I'll just say that I haven't found a service yet that makes metal prints that offers the size.
Okay.
Or something equivalent to that.
Communists. No, all right. Oh, sorry. Sorry to all communists out there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go ahead and name drop who I used for our prints. And I would have to say, I'll say this first. The fact that they did let me print out to the size of the images that I already had was a plus. But when I got the images, I was actually pleasantly surprised. I tried them first, and I wanted to see what they looked like before I started my project. And I said, actually, you know what? I took an image that I had printed out with my Canon printer. And I took the one that I got from this service and handed it to my wife, same image, and said, which one is which? And she could not tell. And I was very pleased with it. I actually used Walmart for that service. Not the 1 hour, but the where they you do it online and then they send it straight to your home. I was really pleased with the images. I thought they did a really good job. And so even if you live in some part of the world where there's no camera stores or shops or anything like that, there's a Walmart and you get it back in the mail. I was really shocked on the quality that I got. And I was really pleased with the images.
Cool. Yeah, I've printed from Walmart, but only using their 1 hour service. Like
yeah,
sometimes my son's daycare, they ask for pictures of, you know, stuff like family pictures or whatever, and they need it the next day.
Yes.
And it's like, oh man, you know, so then I'm rushing to find somewhere to get that done, and it's usually Walmart.
Yeah. I had used them in the past, and I wasn't really thrilled with the images. Even from my Canon camera, they were sort of the printing machines that they had there were adequate, but I wasn't really thrilled with the images.
Yeah.
The ones that I got,
the big thing is kind of like the paper that it gets printed on. Like, that's why, back in the day, like 7-8 years ago, I used to get a lot of prints made at Costco.
Yeah.
And Costco, they did a really great job. I mean, I was able to have their printer profiles on my computer so I could, you know, properly prepare the photos. And they used a really good, I don't remember which paper it was, but a really good, like, archival quality Fuji paper.
Oh.
So for, you know, a big box store, that was really kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
And even at, get this, at the time, Arizona Highways magazine recommended Costco for getting your prints made.
Yeah.
So if anyone doesn't know what Arizona Highways magazine is, look it up. It's freaking awesome.
Nice. Dave said that he uses Sam's Club for canvases. And I have to say, a canvas image is a beautiful image. It reminds me of the 90s because I think in the 90s, a lot of photographers were using the canvas. But there's something about canvas that kind of brings a different quality to the image. I don't like using glossy so much. I love using matte finishes. But then a canvas, you know, has a whole nother texture to it.
Yeah. Canvases are great. My parents have some canvases of photos that I took hanging in their house, and I think they look awesome.
Nice. Yeah. So I'm halfway through my project. I'm hoping to have it done this next weekend, and so that I can get them wrapped and then sent on. I like doing projects like this because I feel that if we put forth the effort in these gifts, there's more meaning to them. Plus, you know, I've done in the past, I've done calendars. And calendars are great. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, okay, I can only put 12, or maybe I could do a collage on one of the months. But trying to whittle it down to so few images is sometimes difficult. And then I try to keep the images that I have for those months corresponding to the previous year's months. And it's sometimes a challenge, especially if you have a dry spell. You're like, I can sneak one from this month because it was close to that month and put it in there. But calendars are great, photo books, and even if you make your own type photo book are good. So, I think Matt, you wanted to bring something up about printing apps, and I thought this would be a good segue to jump in.
Yeah, it definitely is. Speaking of sending, you know, photos out as gifts, I thought, you know, with the holidays coming up, and we're all photographers here, so what better gift to give people than, you know, some of your photography? But often it's kind of awkward to give people a photo because, you know, then they got to frame it and stuff like that. And then, you know, it's also kind of hard sometimes to give framed photos because maybe the frame doesn't fit in with the, you know, the recipient's decor or whatever the issue could possibly be, right?
Yeah.
So there's a few different services out there that I think are pretty good for giving photos as gifts and just sharing your photos in general, but in a tangible printed form. So the first one that I wanted to bring up is an app that I think we might have mentioned on this podcast once before, maybe a couple years ago, and it's called Mosaic.
Oh,
and it's
yes.
An app for creating like a little photo book. Are you familiar with it, Joe?
I remember us talking about it, and I have not used it yet.
So basically, the books are a square format, like 7-inch by 7-inch format, and I think they kind of need to update it a little bit and offer some different formats. But I think the primary thing was, you know, at the time when this came out, you know, everybody was all about Instagram, and Instagram was square format. So yes. This made sense. But basically, you know, you can either in the app, I don't think you can do it on their website. It's basically just an app that you can get for your iPhone, and it's available for Android as well. And I think they have, you know, some different amounts of pages or whatever that you could select, and you put your photos in, and I think you could put some text in there and everything. And it's a really nice little book that you get back, and it only takes just like a few days to get the book back. So if you're like a procrastinator and, you know, you don't think about giving gifts till the last second, this could possibly work out. It's only like a 4-day turnaround on these books, which is pretty
nice.
Cool. Or no, not even that. It's like 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty quick, and they come in like a nice little box, like this really nice box. So you really don't even need to gift wrap it or anything. So that's a pretty good one. It's called Mosaic. And then another thing that is popular to do this time of year is to send cards. And I know I've been thinking about this for like years now, like, oh man, you know, I need to make sure I get out to like a scene that like looks Christmassy, like maybe somewhere with some pine trees, and it would be awesome if it would snow in November so I could take this, you know, holiday looking picture so I could send out, you know, my own Christmas cards or whatever. But there's a service called Ink Cards, like INK, and they have like tons and tons of different templates for making greeting cards. Yeah. And they have tons of like Christmas ones and just kind of generic like happy holidays type templates, and basically you just upload a photo into whatever template you pick, and then you know, you type in whatever you want to type to personalize the card or whatever, and you know, select who you want to send it to, and it can just pull from like your contacts and in your phone or whatever, and then usually like within a week the person will get the card that you're sending.
Wow.
So that is an awesome service. And then related to that, because it's owned by the same company, is Postagram. And Postagram is a little different than Ink Cards in that Postagram is basically like sending a postcard instead of a card.
Yes.
Like Ink Cards, it's like a card in an envelope. You know, it's a folded card that someone sees the picture on the front, they open it up, and all the words are on the inside. Postagram is literally like sending a postcard. So you pick a photo out of your camera roll, and the photo is going to be a square format because that's really all they offer right now.
Yeah.
And then you just type a little message in there, and then, you know, send it off to whoever it is that you're sending it to. The cool thing about Postagram is that the card has like a perforations on it so that the person can actually pop the picture out and save just the picture.
Right.
And I think that they print the message on the front of the postcard, which is going to be like next to the picture, but they also print it on the back so that if you do print it, if you do pop out the picture, the message is printed on the back of the picture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I've used that service a ton of times. I you know, send people in my family postagrams on a, not a regular basis, but from time to time.
I need to do that.
Yeah, and ink cards is awesome too. I use that service a handful of times every year also. And then there was one other one I wanted to mention just because I think it's pretty unique. And that is, I believe it's a relatively new app. It's called Woodpost. Mm. And basically what it is, it's your photos printed on wood, which I think is totally awesome. So they have kind of a wide range of products. They have a bunch of different sizes of what they call posters. But you could kind of think of that as a canvas, like a wood canvas.
Yeah.
Right? And then they have like postcard size ones, which are actually really cool because they come with like this little wooden stand so that you can just like prop it up on like your desk or your countertop or whatever. Yeah. And they have like a bunch of different templates where you can get the photo to cover the whole face of the wood.
Yeah.
Or you can kind of have some of the wood show as a border. And then there's like all these different borders that they can do and stuff. It's really awesome. I actually just ordered some, so I'm waiting for those to come, but I'm really super excited about them. And they have other products as well. You can get like coasters and trays and things of that nature. But I ordered a couple of these in the postcard size.
Yeah.
Just to see, just basically to see what they look like. And I printed out a kind of like one of my autumn landscape pictures because I think that will just look awesome with like the wood grain showing through the picture.
Yeah.
And depending on how those look, I think I might get some of the like bigger ones, the poster size.
how thick is this wood again? Inch, 2 inches?
You know, that I haven't checked out all the dimensions for the poster size ones, so I don't know off the top of my head here.
The poster size one's going to be, 2 foot by 6 foot, and then with a 3 or 4 foot backing.
I hope it's like a cutting board.
Yeah.
So for instance, they have like, let's just say like a large landscape oriented poster. The dimensions of that are 15.4 inches by 11.4 inches. And it's a half inch thick.
Half inch thick. Okay.
Yeah. So pretty much all of these are a half inch thick. They have square format and you could get landscape and portrait oriented.
It stands up by itself.
But I just thought it was, you know, pretty unique. So I'm hoping that these postcard ones come pretty quick because I'm actually thinking that the poster ones will be a good gift.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Definitely when you get it, you need to talk about it because I'm very curious on it.
All right. Yeah. I'm excited to get it. So, you know, they come with a little notch in the back. They're basically like ready to hang.
Nice.
So they're pretty cool. And, the wood is rubber wood. It's from some kind of rubber tree from Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty cool. I don't know. I just thought it was really unique. The samples on their website and in the app, I think they look really nice. And the fact that you could kind of see the wood grain a little bit through the picture, I think that it just adds something really unique to it.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And, you know, there's tons and tons of apps available for getting your photos printed and getting all sorts of different products you know, with your photo on it, you know, to give as gifts or whatever. So these are just some examples of ones that I like. But if you go in the app store and look, there's tons of different stuff like this.
I think there's a lot of people, I'm kind of the same way, but I think there is a lot of people who have a hard time pulling the trigger on a certain either app or store when it comes to having your images printed. Because, you know, a lot of times you don't know what the final results are until you get them.
Sure.
And so...
Yeah, and I totally understand that. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I've been really lucky that I've had the results that I've had. I mean, Postagram and InkCards, both of those services have been around for a little while now, and the products are great. They're really, really nice. They're just nice. The cards are like a heavy card stock. They're really nice.
Yeah.
The only one I mentioned that I'm not really familiar with is Woodpost. You know, so like I said, we'll see. New. I have some on order, so we'll see how that is. But I'm expecting it to be a great product. Mosaic, I've gotten a couple of their photo books, and they're nice photo books for what they are. If you want to make a more like artsy coffee table style photo book, then Mosaic is not the service for you. But if it's just like, you know, throw a handful of pictures in from the year of your kids or whatever to give to grandma, it's awesome. You can't go wrong with Mosaic.
Yeah.
And if you just want to get prints made, I recommend a service called Free Prints. It's awesome. You can get all different size prints made, but you really do get free prints. They're usually 4x6s.
Yeah.
Which I'm completely fine with. And the print quality is really good. I've never gotten any prints from them that haven't turned out.
Nice.
And so check that app out. I've mentioned it a handful of times on this podcast now.
Yeah, so if you like purchase, say, a certain number of prints, they always say, oh, you have this many free prints you can get, and then you just
exactly.
go ahead and got it. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, if you guys have a particular service that you use that you think is awesome, feel free to go onto Facebook and let us know. A lot of times we don't know what's out there until people bring it up. Like, for instance, Walmart. You know, a lot of people go to or pass by a Walmart, or, you know, they don't know that, oh, you know what, I can actually get prints made there. And they're actually quality. I do recommend, you know, possibly just doing the from store to home delivery. But try out their 1 hour printing and compare. See what you like. And it's not that expensive either. So, you know, whatever you do, you know, be sure, you know, prepare yourself to be disappointed, but then also prepare yourself to be quite pleasantly surprised. And I'll tell you this, it's printing is something that we should be doing, because technology fails, devices fail. And if you don't have anything that's tangible, you could lose a lot of the images that you care about, and you can't get them back. That is one of the worst feelings in the world, is to lose something and not be able to get it back. Now, we do have social media. We put a lot of things on social media, but there's no guarantee that that'll stay. And the same thing goes with printing. You know, you may have something, but something catastrophic can happen and you can lose those. So it's good to diversify yourself when it comes to your images. Make sure that you have, you know, backups of your images. Make sure that you have physical prints, because physical prints don't die off when your hard drive dies. You know, they're there. They can be redigitalized. So make sure that you are printing, and make sure that you do it regularly because you never know what will happen. Any other thoughts you have on printing?
No, you brought up all the things I would have said.
Cool deal. Let's. I want to bring something else up that happened this last couple weeks that came to our attention. And you know, there are things that you can take a certain way and say, "Oh, that's stupid. Why did that happen? Why did blah blah blah?" You know, or you can use it as a learning. Tool, a learning point. We had a 1-star review come in criticizing our show on, and you know what? The person who put in the 1-star review had some very valid points, and I thought it would be a good idea to maybe talk a little bit about it briefly, because I think there are expectations that people have when they start listening to shows. And we sometimes don't get the feedback from our listeners, unless it is a 1-star review, which kind of sucks, but you know what? That's life. One of the things that was brought up that I felt we probably should talk about is, the fact that we are not primarily educational podcast when it comes to photography. There's a lot of stuff that we do talk about that is educational, but that's not really the primary focus of our podcast.
Yeah, we don't want any of you learning anything. Yeah. I'm kidding.
No, not that at all. We want the Tiny Shutter podcast to be a virtual camera club, a place for people who are interested in the same things we are to be able to come to a place and to talk to each other, to talk about different ideas, to show off our work, to ask questions, to be a community. And if we spent a majority of our time on the podcast talking about techniques, we would run out of techniques very quickly. And then we'd be stuck staring at each other going, "So what do you want to talk about this time?"
You mean like we do every week?
Oh, shh. You're not supposed to say that. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's important because I want our listeners, I want you guys to have a sense of ownership in this podcast, because without you guys, it would just be Matt and I talking to each other, which I don't mind. I like talking to Matt. But having the listeners participate with us makes it a totally different experience. Facebook is awesome. I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but having everybody on Facebook, it is a great way for us to have that virtual camera club feel where it's not, okay, it's Tuesday night. Do I have time to go over, you know, to drive 30 minutes to go meet up with a group of photographers and maybe have some fun or whatever, where it's virtually there. It's there every day and it's not at a set time. We can talk to each other, ask questions and do all those sorts of things that you would normally do if you were in a camera club. But it's on your own time. It's not set to, well, can everybody make it other than, you know, listening live to the podcast, which we appreciate the guys who are there. But we want this to be a camera club, per se, that everyone who comes along feels welcomed. and feels a part of. And we don't want this to be, oh, this is just, you know, Matt, Joe, and Mark's club. You know, this is, and we get to listen in on it. We want this to be a, Dave wants to get jackets for the clubhouse. we want this to be something that brings people who have either SLRs or iPhones or anything like that, make them feel welcomed and a part of. So I wanted to sort of bring that up because I don't think we talk about so much why we are doing this. Matt and I, we love doing this. You know, it's not there. There's some weeks where like, oh man, I'm tired, but I really want to do the show. Because to us, this is a lot of fun. I want to say for myself, doing the show helps me to stay fresh and engaged in my photography because I have to go out there and do it and participate and talk about it and be able to, you know, do the things that I talk about. It's for me, it's a lot of fun. And plus, you know, I like talking, but I like teaching too. And sometimes teaching different techniques or, like what we talked about today with printing comes out in our conversations. Sometimes we don't know where it will go. Sometimes we talk about stuff and then all of a sudden, well, is that it? Do you have anything else, Matt? 'Cause I'm out, you know,
yeah,
you know, but you know, we want to be able to have a conversation. We want you guys, we're inviting you guys in. We want this, we want you to be a part of it. If we had like 300 people listening and everybody had a microphone, it'd be a little difficult. But you know, we have that opportunity on Facebook and Instagram and some other things. So what are your thoughts, Matt?
No, I definitely agree with you. We want this podcast to just be fun and for it to just, we want it to feel like a hangout, not like you're in class.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? You know, I was joking when I said, you know, we don't want anyone to learn anything. That's not true. I think I could speak for both of us if we have something, you know, to share with all of you that is going to help you with your iPhonography, then we're definitely going to do that. You know, but the main thing we want to do is we just want to talk about, we want to talk about iPhonography in a way that gets you kind of psyched to just go out and take some pictures.
Absolutely.
You know, that's kind of our goal here. It's not really to educate you, it's to get you inspired and to get you excited to just go take some pictures.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of inspiring, do you think it's time to jump into Post Pick of the Week?
I do.
All right.
Post Pick of the Week.
Woohoo! Well, I've been looking forward to this Post Pick of the Week because it's Matt's turn to pick. No, we do Post Pick of the Week every week, and we incorporate what do we call it?
The Facebook group?
Yeah, the Facebook
group. I don't know what you're trying to say.
We incorporate the weekly photo challenge. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So each week we do a weekly photo challenge and we choose an image from that challenge to be our album art and a way to showcase our listeners and, give them kudos and slap them on the back and say, great job. And in all honesty, everybody who posts an image, they do phenomenal. And so sometimes it's just really difficult to choose the best one. but we can only choose one unless we decide to choose two, but that's rare. I think we've only done that once. But this time it is Matt's turn, and our weekly photo challenge was on Thanksgiving / thankful. So Matt, go ahead and tell us who you chose.
All right. So this was a difficult challenge, or is that what we're calling it? The challenge?
Yeah. Weekly photo challenge.
This was a difficult one. I think probably everybody, including myself, thought too much about it.
Yes. It was difficult.
Yeah. You know, because, you know, if you're here in the U.S., you want to do the Thanksgiving thing, but then you might be second guessing yourself because that's too obvious and whatever. And like, even I struggled with it. I didn't post a picture in it, and I feel terrible about that. But this one stymied me, and I think it did that for a lot of people. You know, there were a handful of people that posted that are thankful for their families, which was something I thought about as well. And while I certainly appreciate that, I'm very thankful for my family. I don't want to pick one of those pictures as the winner because I don't think that's appropriate to have as our album art for the week or whatever. That being said, I'm going to go with Robert H. Yockey's photo, which he posted from his Thanksgiving trip in the Sierras.
Yes.
And it is a snowy scene looking up a creek with some pine trees and everything. And the reason I picked this is because I'm thankful that he posted this. It is a fabulous landscape picture, and it kind of reminds me of a few years ago when I went on a backpacking trip in the Adirondacks. It looked just like this, and that was definitely a good memory for me, and this brought that back, and it's just it's a great scene. It's a great composition. I pretty much like everything about it.
Yeah, no, it looks great. I have to say, I am really jealous because I love the Sierras. I lived close to the Sierra Pacifics, but I loved going to the Sierra Nevadas, especially Lake Tahoe. It's beautiful. It's, you know, it snows. This image looks to me like a painting. And I was thinking, I was like, oh, that'd be a great postcard. Postagram. So
yep, there you go.
I think Robert did an awesome job, and I'm jealous that I'm not in the Sierras right now.
Yeah, me too. I've only been once. I've been to Yosemite. I did get to spend 10 days there though, so that was pretty sweet.
But wow.
Yeah, 10 days in Yosemite does not suck at all.
No.
Unless
you were there when I was there.
I probably was not there when you were there.
It was 3 days of rain. It was snowing above us, but as it got to a certain level, it turned into rain.
Nope, definitely was not the same time period that I was there. In any case, epic scenery there. It's a beautiful, beautiful location. You could photograph in that area your entire life and never photograph the same thing twice.
Yeah. Dave says it looks like a Thomas Kincaid painting. I have to say, yes, it does.
It does without all the cheesy villages and
cars
and lighted windows and stuff.
Yes. Oh, awesome. Well, congratulations, Robert, on being Post Pick of the Week. If you want to be chosen as Post Pick of the Week, be sure to go on Facebook and... Yeah, go on to Facebook and participate. That's the word I was looking for. Participate with the weekly photo challenge. This weekly photo challenge is a great way for you to kind of be on your toes to do something that you don't normally do, kind of stretch your abilities. and be able to see some other awesome work and say, you know what, I'd really like to do that, because there's a lot of images that you really would like to do. So there's inspiration, there's challenge, there's growth when it comes to doing the weekly photo challenge. So I encourage you guys to do it. We use the image for our album art. So when you go to look up the episode, that image is right there, front and center. And I have to say, you know, when you get chosen, I know the guys that are in the chat room, they're like, oh, I hope it's me. I hope it's me. It's a good feeling to have somebody single you out and be able to showcase your work, because, you know, we don't just take pictures just to take pictures. We take pictures because we love to. And when somebody singles you out on your image, it's a great feeling. Even though Matt and I don't get post pick of the week, but that's all right. We can handle that. But wow. Is there anything else that you want to bring up, Matt?
No, I just want to get out and take some pictures now.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I think we are at the end of another episode.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, let me do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can check me out on Instagram, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram as at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show notes, links to YouTube and Facebook by going to tinyshutter.com. And I really do encourage you guys that if you're not on Facebook, you are missing out. And I have to say, in the last month, we have had an influx of people joining. I think we have over 300 people in the Facebook group. And we do have a lot of participation. We have a lot of questions that are asked. We have a lot of images that are posted, and it's great. It's really exciting. And it helps Matt and I, it encourages us to be able to do the next episode, because we're like, we wanted to do an episode on over Thanksgiving, but, you know, health got in the way. But we were there. We're like, all right, let's do it. You know, we'll be busy cleaning and doing all that stuff after that holiday. But we were determined, you know, we're going to do it. But, you know, things do get in the way. But go on to Facebook, you know, join the group, and I guarantee you won't be disappointed.
Oh, we haven't decided what the challenge is going to be for next week.
Yes, thank you. I had an idea, but do you have an idea?
No. I'd rather hear your idea.
I was thinking the color red.
Hmm. Okay, I'm in.
Okay. So, yeah, thanks, Dave, for alerting us to that. The color red is going to be our weekly challenge for this next week. So that should hopefully leave everything to interpretation and wide open. I would be a little concerned if it was black and whites, but I think everybody can find a subject or something along the way this week that is red, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to get. So good. Well, Matt, I think we're done.
Yes, we are.
And it's good having you back. I'm glad your voice is back to normal.
Yeah, it's all just about there. It's 99% normal.
Good. All right. Well, I think we're done, and we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?